Hello and welcome to the ILTA Professional Services Peer Group Leadership Podcast Series. I'm Scott David, the Professional Services Peer Group Vice President from Voorhees Sater Seymour and Peace. Today I will be interviewing David Michel, the CIO of Rissman Barrett, on the topic of getting started in the CIO or IT director role, either through a promotion or from within, or a transition into the role at a new firm. David, thank you again for taking the time to speak with us. Can you first give us a little bit of background on how you came into your CIO role at Rissman Barrett?
Yes, thank you for having me. I started at this firm this past January, so about 5 months ago, and I came, I was CIO of another firm and relocated down here for this position.
Well, great. I often hear about CIOs crafting a first 90 or 100-day plan. Did you craft something like this when you changed firms? And if so, how did you go about it, and how did you establish those initial goals and priorities?
I actually did not craft a plan on this one because I did so at my prior firm, and I think I learned a couple things from it. Specifically, to me, the first 90 or 100 days, the best thing you can do is to sit back, listen, observe, and ask questions without trying to make decisions or trying to make plans going forward, because I truly don't feel you know what you have and what needs to get fixed and where the pain points are until you get a full grasp of that. So when I started here, I made it my mission to do just that. So it was to basically get to know everybody and talk to the users, find out where the issues are, observe the things in the data center and on the infrastructure from my perspective, speak to my people. And then after that 90 days is really when we started crafting the plan for the things that needed to be tweaked, the things that needed to be upgraded, and the changes that needed to be made.
All right. Well, thanks. Talking a little bit more about the people side of it, did you have a universal message for your staff? And what was your approach during that first time on evaluating where things were staffing-wise for you?
This is my fourth firm now, so I've had the luxury or opportunity to sit down with a new staff a couple of times. And one of the things I always say to my staff is, you know, I started at my first firm as help desk and worked my way up. And I feel it's important for my people to know that so they know I've been where they are. And so when I come in, I like to sit down with a group, just tell them a little bit about me and my experience. And then I meet with everybody individually, find out a little bit more about them, both personally and professionally, and then try to delve into, I ask everybody who works for me at first to give me a job description of, not the job description they were hired to do or what on paper the firm says their job is. I ask them to give me a job description of what do you do all day, what do you do in a week, and then you go into specific tasks and things like that. So I can get a good idea of exactly what they're doing. And good example of that is, you know, our trainers here. I've got two trainers who report to me, but they do, you know, probably up to 50% or more of their time. They spend that time doing tasks other than training because of some policies and procedures and them helping certain partners. And so, you know, if I'd come in and just said, well, you know, two trainers or more than enough or not enough, or we need to start training on something, I wouldn't have had the full breadth of knowledge of how they spend their time. And so that, I think, has allowed me to be successful and develop a good rapport with my staff at that point.
That makes a lot of sense. Did you do anything to, a lot of times when a new CIO comes in, the staff is kind of concerned that, you know, people might get terminated or have their roles reduced right away. Did you do anything to kind of put them at ease about those concerns?
When I start, I usually make sure I tell them that I was not brought in this case, I was not brought in as a directive to clean house. I know certain times, you know, that can happen, but that was not the case now. So I make sure I stress that, you know, during the interview process and from what I've learned, the firm is happy with IT or, you know, with the staff. And I think that helps put them at ease. What I do say, though, just to be perfectly honest, I say, you know, I'm a different person than the person who sat in my office before me. Some of you may like me better and like my style more, and some people may not. And that doesn't necessarily mean either of us is right or wrong, but it may mean, you know, you are not working here a year from now, 2 years from now. And I'm not saying that it's going to be because you're fired, but you may decide you want to work somewhere else. And so I kind of put that out there because one of the things, me personally, is I am not a micromanager. And I've found over the years, certain people like to be micromanaged and need to be in order to be successful, or they don't feel they're getting enough feedback. And so I just like to put out my style, how I work, and people have responded to it in the past. So I think it's worked for me.
Great, great. My next question is to talk about the attorney perspective. But one of the things I realized I didn't ask you earlier on for the people listening is, can you give us a gauge of the size of your firm?
Sure. This firm's a little bit smaller than the ones I'm used to, which is it's quite interesting from that perspective. But we are 65 attorneys and 250 users. So that in itself, we're very heavily staffed compared with the traditional law firm model. And there's good reasons for it, but it was, you know, that's one of those things going back to the first 90 days. You look at, you know, our staffing is not in line with how most firms do it. And until you know the reasons why, you can't really speak to it. So, and it's a smaller firm and it's still run by a couple of senior partners, which again is different from a lot of places. So it's been interesting.
Okay. And your IT staff, when you came in, they were about what size?
There are six people on my staff and two trainers.
Great. Okay, great. So talking about the attorney perspective, did you, especially it sounds like kind of a unique setup, did you have a specific set of attorneys that you met with? And how did you determine who and what are some of the goals of those discussions?
Well, you know, our firm, everyone, all the attorneys with their name on the door actually still work here. So obviously they were people I reached out to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then there was managing partners, so that's somebody else to reach out to. And really that's all the direction I had at first. What I did is I scheduled meetings for attorneys and for staff separately. Just an hour, you know, half hour, come meet David and come meet, you know, air your gripes and complaints and learn a little bit about me. So I did that with the attorneys as well, and I went to each office and did that. And so that really helped because you got a lot of people who were in there. You tend to get the associates who show up to those kinds of meetings and they want to have a voice because a lot of times they don't. And then just walking around to each attorney's office. So if I go to one of our other offices, I just spend the day, pop my head in, how are things going, sit down, tell me what your needs are, what your pain points are, what your problems are. And that's really how I got to meet everybody and how I developed the rapport that I have thus far with the attorneys.
Well, great. Is there anything through that process that surprised you?
Not really from the attorney perspective, I would say. We have a lot of very interesting, very intricate systems in place here in a lot of ways, but a lot of those need tweaking. And so when I went around, what the attorneys were asking for in a lot of cases were things that other firms have used before and that we've used before, but they were told it wasn't possible here or we didn't have the setup for it here. So I was a little surprised that we didn't have what I'd consider some common tools and things for the attorneys, but it wasn't because we didn't want to give it to them in the past. I think there was just a miscommunication based on, you know, years ago they weren't able to do something, so they assumed they still couldn't do that. So just updating everybody to, you know, here are the possibilities and the options and the things we have available now. So if you're interested, you know, let me know.
Okay. So firm culture. So every firm has one, but each is a little different. Can you talk about how you went about figuring out what those differences were compared to some of your past experiences?
Sure. Like I said, this firm's a little bit smaller, and I knew that going in, but you kind of forget just how different it is from a 300 or 400 lawyer firm with 10, 12 offices down to a, you know, one with 65 attorneys and three offices. So it's a lot less corporate than a lot of firms. And like I said, the managing shareholder and many of the other people are still very active and have been from the day the firm was started. And so there are things that they want to do their way, and that's the way things are done. And so just kind of getting to know the people really and know how things work and how all the processes work and the workflows and the policies. And then you kind of learn a lot just from that. And then just like I said, talking to people and seeing how it is, because it's been a very successful firm. It's a great place to work, but it's very different from other places, and you just have to learn how it works, and just talking to people, I found, is the best way to do that.
Great. The next section is about kind of reflection and looking back. Now that you've been there for, I think it's close to half a year right now, and certainly you've been through this before, since you've been leading multiple firms. But that all being said, looking back, is there anything you might have done differently from your approach?
I would say, in hindsight here, I probably should have had a better grasp on a couple of the key contracts we had. I had some incomplete documentation, and so I made a couple of statements about our contracts when something went wrong that weren't correct. And so, the buck stops with me, and so my fault for not having the complete information. And so, looking back, there were a couple of key contracts that I probably should have gotten to know a little bit better and made sure that I had complete information. And then just don't try to change the world in a day, even when you're listening. I think you have a tendency when you start at a new firm, especially in a leadership role, you want to make a difference. You want to make your impact, and you want to show that, you were the right person to be brought in for the job. And I think sometimes you slow down a little bit, triple check everything, ask a couple of other key questions, just to make sure that you have all the answers and you have all your ducks in a row. So I would say probably a little bit of that as well. But overall, I think it's been pretty smooth.
Okay, so you didn't say this, but you kind of implied maybe trying to do a little devil's advocate with your staff on saying before you step into something, kind of I'm thinking about this. What are some things I might not have been thinking of?
Yeah, absolutely. And in law firms, some of the things are very simple. You have a contract with a particular vendor, and you can, save money by changing vendors, but you don't know who knows who with that vendor, so you have to ask. When it turns out that, that vendor is a client of the firm, and they pay us a whole lot more than we pay them, or, the owner of that company is college buddies or, brother-in-laws of somebody at the firm, then you need to know those things before you cancel contracts. The other thing, the other thing is just always make a point of, because that's the way we always did it, is not the right answer ever, especially in the IT world. But I've even pushed that back to management, to the partners, to my boss as well, because it, things have been great. Firms have done well, but you need to move forward. You need to evolve. So another thing I always tried to push was, don't assume the way it was done before is the best way. So, and I think having a fresh face, because my predecessor was here for about 15 years, I think it makes it a little easier to do that. But I think that's very important as well.
Sure. I really appreciate you taking your time. Is there any last piece of advice that you'd like to add? Maybe something I didn't ask that I should have?
I think just, go in with your eyes wide open, and your ears open, and the first 90 days are key, and I think that can really make or break your reputation. And it's important to make sure that you're right, you have your ducks in a row, and things like that. I think for, especially at a smaller firm, when you're IT director or CIO, and you don't have a big staff, there may not be a clear delineation in many people's minds between, the help desk guy, the computer guy, and you. So it's good, and I think it's necessary to find that fine line, that delicate balance between, I'm not going to crawl under your desk and plug in the monitor to, you know, I want to be helpful, because I think you have to set the right tone and, you know, for the position. So it, I think that's an important line to walk, and it's something that's going to be different at every firm. But I do feel if you get a little too hands-on and you are eager and you want to jump in and sit at somebody's computer and help fix their problems with whatever it can be, I think that can actually hinder your long-term projects, and because you're seen sometimes more as the IT guy rather than a strategic, you know, technology executive. So I would caution people just to make sure you kind of walk that fine line and take that into consideration.
Yeah, sure. I can see that as being a challenge, especially at a smaller firm with a smaller staff that's hopping around wearing lots of different hats. Well, thank you again, David Michel, CIO at Rissman Barrett. Thank you for taking your time and sharing your knowledge and experiences.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.